I trust you're ready for the word today. So I have a sort of a Christmas message for you. So I trust you'll glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. How many have known that statement? It's pretty common. So just as a way of introduction, I want to start with that prophetic word we did last week. Just clear those backgrounds for me so we can see this word. So clear all and go back to get and do it again. So this is the prophetic word that we started with for 2018. And it said, 2018 is the year of the Holy Ghost and fire. The big 18 for 2018, 9 fruits of the Spirit and 9 gifts of the Spirit. That time is not just coming, says Brother Copeland, it's already here. But as his sons and daughters, we're going to have spiritual explosions going on throughout 2018, particularly in the area of holiness and cleansing. So I know that before any move of God, there's a cleansing that comes to the church. There's a separation. There's a holiness that comes on because God will only move on pure vessels. And so I want to introduce something a little bit further to you. There's a slide up here which says, 2018, days of glory, days of flourishing, and days of abounding. And so that's a further message for 2018. And, you know, the word that we stood on for 2017 was that the faithful shall flourish and it shall be like days of heaven on the earth. I'm here to tell you that God's word does not change. How many realize that God's word doesn't change? It's the same. So it doesn't change. I believe that God's going to continue to build on what he had begun in 2017. So he just doesn't throw that out. He builds and he keeps on going on that. And so what he began in 2018, there'll be days of glory, days of flourishing, and days of abounding if you'll believe what you say. That's the fine print. You've got to believe what you say. If you don't believe what you say, you can forget everything else that I'm going to say right now. You have to believe what you say. See, God's word will never fail. Now, I would ask you this morning, do you believe that the word of the Lord will never fail? When the word of God is spoken, it never falls to the ground. It never just goes empty. It always accomplishes something. And we back this up with the scripture in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. It says this, "And so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." This is what God says. There's never one word that he's spoken out that ever fails. It always accomplishes what he pleases, and it prospers. Who knows what prospering is? Prosper's not a lottery handout. Prospering is that every day there's an increase coming and there's an abundance coming. And that's what the God wants to prosper you, wants to increase you so that your cup is overflowing. And prospering means that what you have is more than enough for you and it spills out for other people so that you can become a blessing. See, God is a blesser, but he wants you to be a blesser too. He wants you to have enough that you can be a blessing. And that's God's plan, that his children would be like him. Blessing and speak prosperity, speak blessing wherever they go. So the word of God is all about prophecy. And there's so many prophetic words about the coming Messiah. So Jesus was prophesied before it happened. So the word of God would cause situations to change. And the prophetic word that was in Micah, we don't have the scripture here, but 750 years earlier, before Jesus was born, it prophesied that there would be a Savior that would be born in Bethlehem. It prophesied 750 years. But the problem was that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. They lived in a place called Nazareth, but the prophecy said it would be Bethlehem. So how could this come to pass? See, the Word of God was in place and it was going to move governments. So it moved the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was moved to change the law for that one time. And we pick it up in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, that the world should be registered." Now, you had to have a harebrained idea to do that, because logistically, it was a real problem. How could you get everyone to go back to their original ancestral birthplace? Can you imagine the logistical nightmare of that? I mean, people had scattered right across the world. And here is a decree went out that everyone had to go back to their original ancestral birthplace. And it wasn't the ancestral birthplace for the sort of the ancestors that was in Jesus' line was not from Nazareth. It was from Bethlehem. David was from Bethlehem. And so that was the linkage. He had to go back. And verse 2, "And this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So that all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem because he was of the household and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth a firstborn son and then wrapped him in swaddling clothes and then laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn." It wasn't they laid him in a manger because they didn't have any money. And that's the impression we can get. They had no money. They had money. But there was no room. Everyone came back from the big city to the little town. So the little town of Bethlehem could not accommodate all the influx of the people that were descendant from that area. So when they got there, it would have taken a long time because she was with child and the donkey was probably slow or whatever the case was. But when they got there, there was no room. There was no room anywhere. So they only could have a stable. But that was also prophesied. It was also spoken out. Verse 8. "There were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, watching over their flocks by night." Verse 9. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid." It's interesting. Do you realize that angels are dispatched to minister to the heirs of salvation? That's us. They're dispatched to minister to the heirs of salvation. And they bring the glory of the Lord with them. So they come from the presence of God. They come where the glory is. And they come down with messengers or to minister to the heirs of salvation. And what they bring with them is the glory of God. So God was not there. God was in heaven. But the angels came and they had the glory of God with them. And so when they showed up, the glory of God was there. So I'm declaring that in 2018, you're going to see the glory of God manifest in our meetings. Why? Because we're going to experience days of heaven on the earth. That's because there'll be angelic visitations coming from the presence of God, and the glory of God will come upon the place here. And the glory of God will be here to heal, to deliver, to set the captive free, to do everything that was laid up prophetically as a gift for us. So they come to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's you, that's me. They're there only to minister to you. So we better get them busy. Because at the moment, angels are not busy. They're waiting upon us to declare something that lines up with the Word of God so they can accomplish it. If we take the Word of God, we declare it out, angels start to move. Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which is to all people.'" So they had a message, a prophetic message, which was a good tidings of great joy. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Interesting statement. So what's so significant about the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men? Well, I know up to this time there was not peace on the earth. Who knows there was not peace on the earth? In fact, could you really say there's peace on the earth now? So was the angels wrong? So the angels weren't wrong. Well, why? When Adam the reason why there was no peace on the earth, the reason why there's no goodwill on the earth, was when Adam, the first one who was made, first man, when he transgressed directly against God, he gave his authority over to Satan, who became God of the earth. And when the authority was given over to Satan, who became God of the earth, God removed his blessing. He removed his presence. He removed his glory, his peace, and his goodwill from the earth, because man rejected it. And so it was replaced with a curse that came from Satan. Satan didn't have any blessing to give. He only had a curse. So when Satan was given authority, he moved in with a curse. And with that, there was sickness. There was suffering. There was toil. There was hardship. There was sorrow. All those things are wrapped up in the curse because the blessing of God had been removed. But right now, and sin has separated us from God. And Isaiah 59 verse 2 bears this up. It says, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he will not hear. So all that time, God's face was hidden from mankind because of sin, because of iniquity. God could not look at man. So because of the transgression of Adam, the curse came into the earth because the blessing of God had been removed. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, we see it here. It says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than any beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And verse 15, and I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You shall bruise his heel and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So essentially what had to happen, man had to squash and trample on the enemy. That was our place to do that. And verse 17, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. See, there's a curse working. This is the curse that had been acted on when Satan took authority. So we have to choose between a blessing and a curse. We've got the opportunity now, because of what Jesus has done, to choose the blessing or the curse. And we know that the curse brings toil, sweat, and pain. So what does a blessing bring? Yeah, it tells us here in Proverbs 10:22, look what the blessing of God brings. It says here, the blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and it adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. So there's a couple of things here I want to mention to you. The blessing of God makes you truly rich, and he doesn't add any sorrow with it. How many of you can know of people that are truly rich but have got so much sorrow? Yeah, their lives are a mess. They've got to have full-time security and bodyguards just to protect them, because it's sorrow that comes with riches. But this is what the Lord says, the blessing of the Lord makes truly rich and adds no sorrow. There's no time we think, oh, I wish I didn't have this money. You know, it's just such a pain. It causes me all this heartache. and everyone just wants a piece of me because of the money. No, God wants to make you truly rich with no sorrow. And it doesn't matter what toiling you can do, it's never going to increase it because it comes by the blessing of God. I want you to tap into that blessing today. It's there for us, and you can take it by faith. Okay, so finally, after 4,000 years of separation of God, we see that man began to have the blessing again and was restored to his place of God of the earth because of what Jesus did. So we can understand now that goodwill towards men was made because God said, now I've got goodwill towards men because I'm sending the Savior. Up in that time, he couldn't. Up in that time, he couldn't have goodwill towards men. And then he said, there's going to be peace on the earth. Anyone tell me today, how is God going to achieve peace on the earth? How is he going to achieve that? Does anyone want to have a thought? How could he achieve peace on the earth? Through us? Yeah. Have a look at this. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The next verse. Of his increase, of his government and the peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this message was backed up by God himself. So to put it in this way, God gave his own name to his son. And he's named, how many know that he's named with many names? The word tells us he's named with many names. And we've been studying on that over the last few weeks. You know, we've talked about the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, you're my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, all those names that have been given to Jesus. Well, there's more names. And these are some of the names that he's been given personally, the names of God he gave to his son. He gave him the name of Wonderful. I think we've got it on the next screen. Wonderful. He gave him the name of Counselor. He gave him the name of Mighty God. That's God's own name. He gave it to his son, Jesus, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, there's no peace on the earth, but the Prince of Peace came on the earth and he brought the peace of God with him. And his peace he gave to us. And we can give it to whoever we please. You don't believe me? Have a look at the scripture. John 14, verse 27. It says, this is Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? It's a message from Jesus. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid, because I've given you my peace. My peace I've given you. Every time that trouble, every time you fear, go and say, I'm going to take the peace of Jesus, what he's given me, which is the peace of God. He's a Prince of Peace. He's the one who dispenses peace. So we can take that peace and we say, with your word, you say, I apply that peace into this situation right now. I apply peace into where fear is. I take peace and I put it where frustration is. And see, when there's peace in your life, there's nothing that can touch you. Perfect peace. Now, I said, the peace that Jesus gave us, we can leave with others, whoever we want. Matthew 10, 11 says this. Now, whatever city or town you enter, this is Jesus speaking, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. So find somebody that's worthy of your presence. Find something that's worthy of having you stay in their house. Different way of looking at it, isn't it? You know, I've heard some people say, who can have me? Who can board me or do something? No, you coming as an emissary of God. Who's worthy of your time, of your presence in that place? If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever you will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from the house or the city, shake the dust from your feet. Don't take anything with you. Let it remain, because you've got something, a precious gift, which is the peace of God to impart. I tell you now, that's a precious commodity in a world that has no peace. See, there's not going to be peace in the world, but you have the peace to take and to dispense. So when you come and you meet somebody, leave your peace with them if you think that's what God wants you to do. Because it's a precious gift. The gift of peace that you can dispose, you can put upon people. Especially at this time when there's so many issues in this world. Yeah, go up, walk to, I'm going to give you a peace on your life. Give you peace. See, don't forget that peace is one of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? This peace is one of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. So 2018 will be a year of the Holy Ghost and fire, and the fruits of the Spirit are a force. And we started to say this, that these fruits of the Spirit are a force. They're not an inanimate thing. They're sort of a force which is powerful. So if you take these forces, and we spoke about the force of joy, we're going to speak more upon that in the new year. The force of peace. And the other forces of the Holy Spirit, which are fruits, when you take those, you can use them and they have powerful impacts. See, faith was used to bring the word into the earth. It was used. So Luke 1, verse 26, I want to take you back to this story and show you how the word was used to change the situation. And verse 26, it says, now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, who is an archangel who stands in the presence of God 24/7, except when he's on assignment, he was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now that's a photo of the city of Galilee as it is today. So my son took that as he was going by boat into Galilee. So the morning in Galilee. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. What a great introduction. It's hard enough to have an angel appear to you, but when he calls you, you know, an amazing name like that. Verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the manner of greeting that this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, or Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? She's saying, I'm not intimate with a man. I have no relationship. How can this happen? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the 6th month for her who is called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. I want you, you know, you should say that over and over again. With God, nothing is impossible. Have a look at every situation in your life which looks impossible and say, no, with God, nothing is impossible. I don't care what it is. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be. And the angel departed from her. See, here was the key for Mary. She had to believe the word of God. She had to believe it. But even more important than that, she had to believe that she had to believe that she received and declared it. So she had to believe this word, that it was going to be a true word from God. She had to declare it in order to receive it. See, if she hadn't declared that, she couldn't have received that. If she wouldn't have said, "Behold, let it be according to your word, let it be to me," it could not have happened. She had to declare that she received the word of God. Even though Mary did not understand the details, she did not understand the details. She couldn't work it out with her own mind. She knew she had no relationship yet with a man. How could this be? But she decided that she wasn't going to work it out. She's going to accept the word of the Lord to her that she was going to receive a son. You know, that word was given by Gabriel. It was sent by the Father through Gabriel to a message to her. And that's the same with us today. You may not know the details of how it's going to work out. But if you've got the promise in front of you in the Word of God, you've got to receive that and say, "Let it be to me according to your Word, God." Take the promise of God and say, "Let it be according to what you've declared already. Let it be to me." And what happened? As a direct result of receiving the word of God, she believed and she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." And the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the highest overshadowed her. Therefore, the Holy One who was to be born was called the Son of God. Now, I want to show you this scripture, John 1:14. And it says here, "And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." So this is interesting that here it says the word became flesh. The word became flesh. The word materialized. The word was just a spiritual thing spoken out. See, when Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word," the word of God, the seed of God, see, God's a sower. He sows words. We should be sowers. We should sow words. Over every situation, we need to sow words. So Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." The word of God, the seed of God, instantly became flesh. Instantly she said that, the seed of God was planted. The word that was spoken became flesh, became a seed. And exactly 9 months later, the Savior was born. The instant she said that, the word became flesh. And 9 months later, it was manifest as a healthy man-child. And she called him Jesus. But she had to speak it out. See, I don't care what your situation is, you have to declare it in the spoken out, speak it out, because if you don't speak it, it will never happen. It happens by your words. You take the word of God and you apply it to an impossible situation and it will produce. You know, this year you've heard me teaching and speaking week in, week out about sowing the word and believing that you receive what you say. And I'll keep on this until everyone gets a hold of what God wants you to do. He wants you to be a sower. The Holy Spirit has had me get you to a place where you understand that He's waiting on you to declare the word. See, he's ready. The word says he's ready to perform it. He's waiting anxiously on your words to perform it. That's what he's waiting on. He's spoken his word out to you. Now he's waiting for you to get a revelation of, and when you say, he's waiting for you to believe what you say. If you believe in your heart, it says, believe in your heart. Now there's so many things that come in your mind at this time of year. Never once the word says believe in your mind. That is subject to all sorts of things. It's subject to what you hear, what you see, but when you believe it in heart, and the only way you can believe it in your heart is when you meditate the word and get it in there so that when the impossible situation comes, you can speak it out. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to speak it out. See, this is exactly what Mary did. She heard the angel of the Lord speak the word. She meditated in her heart. She pondered in her heart, saying, "What's this? What's it going to mean for me?" And then she said, "I'm in. I want to be what you've declared. I want to be what you've spoken about. I want to be the one that will bring the Savior into the earth. And so when she spoke that out, it happened. And 9 months later, the Word became flesh, and she named him Jesus. See, 2018 will be a year of the timing of God, and you'll see firsthand the blessing of God being manifest in the lives of men and women, and they will flourish because they're believing the Word of God, and they'll speak it out over everything that they want. And I want to tell you that it's important that you declare things over what you want. It's so important that you declare over what you want. You find the promise of God in His Word, and you declare it over your situation. If it's healing, if you've got something in your life you need healed, get the Word of God over healing and get His promises and start speaking out. You know, I love what Kenneth Hagin used to say. He would say this regularly, you know, I feel good, I feel fine. Body, get in line. It was a simple thing, but it's basically, you know, he's telling his body how to respond. You know, we have to tell our body what to do. Because most times, you know, you'll get up in the morning, your body doesn't feel like doing too much. But tell it to get in line. Tell it how it feels. Don't give in to a confession of, no, I don't feel good. Get that out of your mind, because your body has to come in line with what you say. Your bank balance has to come in line with what you say. If you keep saying, I can't afford it, well, guess what? Your bank balance will never be able to afford it. So get that out of your vocabulary. Start saying, no, I'm more than an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, and get some scriptures on abundance and get them working. Sow it in your life. Every time an issue comes, sow more word. Every time some debt comes, sow more word. Every time pain comes, sow more word. Become a sower. In 2018, sow, because there's going to be a manifestation of the Holy Spirit this coming year that will turn your situation around. When you speak the Word of God out, the words you speak out become pregnant with the Word of God. So you take His Word and they speak them out. There's something happens to your Word. It has the power of God wrapped up into it. But I tell you now, not everyone will flourish, because not everyone will believe and not everyone will be willing to declare the Word of God over this situation. There'll be those who say, Michael, you've got to say it like it is. You've got to call it as it is. So that's calling sickness. That's calling debt as it is. But the Word of God does not declare that. It says, call things that are not as though they are. And this has to be a year that we're calling things that do not exist as though they did. If you speak the Word of God in it, then you're speaking what God says, and that's the truth. To actually say what is a lie, according to the Word of God. So we're going to wrap this up today, but I just want to encourage you. We're going to have some communion right now. So I want us to take communion, though, because as we take communion, we're remembering what Jesus has done for us. And do you know what's in the communion? There's healing in communion. There's deliverance in communion. All these things, and the communion represents to us, the bread or the biscuit represents the body of Jesus that was broken for us. It was actually broken for us. The wine represents His blood that was shed, the covenant that was made in His blood. A blood covenant. A blood covenant you can't break. You can't break it at all. So a covenant made in the blood of Jesus Christ cannot be broken. So when we look at the covenant and communion, it's a sealing saying, what I've spoken is true, and I've got a covenant relationship with you that cannot be broken. You can go to God on this covenant communion and say, Lord, you paid for my sickness. You paid in full. Lord, you paid for my salvation in full. Lord, you paid for my abundance in full. Now, I'm in a covenant relationship with you, so be it according to your word. And as we take communion together, I want us to remember the covenant that was made in His blood and say, Lord, everything that you've done for me, I want that this year. I do not want to go out of 2017 into 2018 without taking what you've done for me. Don't wait for next year. Do it now. This is the best time to receive a gift from Jesus, is today and here. So whatever that is, if that's healing, go to remind Him of the covenant in communion. That's mine right now. whatever it is that you want, and declare it. And I'm going to get you over communion to actually, as we pray, I want you to declare what you want. I want you to make a declaration and say, Lord, this is what I want. If it's healing, call that what your healing is. Call that whatever it is that you want today. Let's stand together.